Over the next few weeks, Linda wore her new red cap to school every day. She never took it off, not even in the classroom. And so it was inevitable that she took some teasing about it. Most of it came from a kid named Nick Wienhoff. Out on the playground during recess, Nick would creep up behind her and make a grab for the cap, almost yanking it off, then scampering away. It went on like that for weeks, the girls giggling, the guys egging him on. Naturally, I wanted to do something about it, but it just wasn't possible. I had my reputation to think about. I had my pride. And there was also the problem of Nick Wienhoff. So I stood off to the side, just a spectator, wishing I could do things I couldn't do. I watched Linda clamp down on the cap with the palm of her hand, holding it there, smiling over in Nick's direction as if none of it really mattered. For me, though, it did matter. It still does. I should have stepped in. Fourth grade is no excuse. Besides, it doesn't get easier with time. And 12 years later, when Vietnam presented much harder choices, some practice at being brave might have helped a little. Also, too, I might have stopped what happened next. Maybe not, but at least it's possible. Most of the details I've forgotten or maybe blocked out, but I know it was an afternoon in late spring and we were taking a spelling test. And halfway into it, Nick Wienhoff held up his hand and asked to use the pencil sharpener. Right away, the kids laughed. No doubt he'd broken the pencil on purpose, but it wasn't something you could prove. And so the teacher nodded and told him to hustle it up, which was a mistake. Out of nowhere, Nick developed a terrible limp. He moved in slow motion, dragging himself up to the pencil sharpener and carefully slipping in his pencil and then grinding away forever. At the time, I suppose, it was funny. But on the way back to his seat, Nick took a short detour. He squeezed between two desks, turned sharply right, and moved up the aisle toward Linda. I saw him grin at one of his pals. In a way, I already knew what was coming. As he passed Linda's desk, he dropped the pencil and squatted down to get it. When he came up, his left hand slipped behind her back. There was a half-second hesitation. Maybe he was trying to stop himself. Maybe then, just briefly, he felt some small approximation of guilt. But it wasn't enough. He took hold of the white tassel, stood up, and gently lifted off her cap. Somebody must have laughed. I remember a short, tinny echo. I remember Nick Wienhoff trying to smile. Somewhere behind me, a girl said, or a sound like that. Linda didn't move. Even now, when I think back on it, I can still see the glossy whiteness of her scalp. She wasn't bald, not quite, not completely. There were some tufts of hair, little patches of grayish-brown fuzz. But what I saw then, and keep seeing now, is all that whiteness. A smooth, pale, translucent white. I could see the bones and veins. I could see the exact structure of her skull. There was a large band-aid at the back of her head, a row of black stitches, a piece of gauze taped above her left ear. Nick Wienhoff took a step backward. He was still smiling, but the smile was doing strange things. The whole time, Linda stared straight ahead, her eyes locked on the blackboard, her hands loosely folded at her lap. She didn't say anything. After a time, though, she turned and looked at me across the room. It lasted only a moment, but I had the feeling that a whole conversation was happening between us. Well, she was saying, and I was saying, sure, okay. Later on, she cried for a while. The teacher helped her put the cap back on. Then we finished the spelling test and did some finger painting. And after school that day, Nick Wienhoff and I walked her home.